qui vous présente. Agotova. I want to begin this year with a Kohen Kol filler, the first liner from Mr. Solly Dieter, our dear friend. He's feeling better, Baruch Hashem, and we all wish him a first liner. He was one of the founders of this year. Shlaima ben Tzur Rivet Marfi Shlaima Tzur Shav Ben Yisroel. Today's shiur will focus on the issues of contraceptive devices and procedures from a halachic perspective. First, a few words of introduction. When we talk about Jewish medical ethics, many times, most times, these are the same issues in general medical ethics. When we look over the issues we discussed in the previous shiurim, they all are things which the general public also is trying to find answers. Contraceptive devices are not considered a problem of general medical ethics. The general public views them as beneficial, something which enhances the quality of life. It spares people of many unwanted consequences of unprotected sexual activities. So, in general, this is viewed as something which is beneficial for the public. Also, because of the problem of the population explosion, contraceptives is something which is viewed in favor. But when we take a look in a historic perspective, we see that the development of the pill began, I think, in the early 60s, and that interestingly coincides with the development of the hippie movement and the promiscuity which developed as a result of that movement, and who knows if this wasn't partially a result of this development of birth control and also the scourge of the 20th century, which was the AIDS epidemic, is also probably a result of this promiscuity, and only history will judge if this was a result or not, it was connected or not to this development in the contraceptive devices. All I'm trying to say is that, as in medicine in general, every drug, every procedure can have adverse side effects, and so this tool, like any other tool, it's a powerful tool, and has to be used with care only when it's indicated medically and otherwise, which we will address soon. But this is something which has to be borne in mind whenever addressing the issue of contraception. The Torahic approach to contraception is, on one hand, it's like any other medical procedure which can be used whenever necessary, and on the other hand, we have to bear in mind that there are many halachic issues, mitzvahs and isurim, which are involved in the use of contraceptives. The approach of modern society is that a person controls his own destiny, his own life, his career. He decides whatever is good for himself. And so it also developed the need for a person to decide when he sets up a family, what the size of the family, the structure of the family. And therefore, family planning came into being. Contraception involves many isurim, and we'll address each of the methods separately. There are methods which are more acceptable, methods which are more problematic when it comes to halachic isurim. And in short, a person who has and needs to use contraceptives should consult with his doctor and also the competent rabbinic authority before any device or any medication is used. So let's start first with the major isurim and the mitzvahs which are involved. The first mitzvah in the Torah is Pru Irgu. Because the work he said, be fruitful and multiply. That mitzvah obligates every Jewish person to have at least two children, a boy and a girl. The second mitzvah is Lo Yitoyhu Gerua and the Sheves Yitzura. The Novi Yeshaya says that mitzvah, and the translation is, the world was created not to be barren, but to be populated. Because the Rashi wants the world to be populated with people. And the third mitzvah is a mitzvah, the Pasuk in Koheles. And the Pasuk says, Baboiker Zra Ezarehu Velu Erev Al Tanach Yudehu. In the morning, plant your seed, and continue to do so in the evening. And Chazal explained what is the meaning of this pasuk. Rabbi Yeshua Aymer, and Yevumis in Samach Beis. Nusu Uda Mishu V'Yaldusoy, a person who married when he was young, Yisu Ishu V'Ziknusoy, if he's old and he's single, he should remarry. Hoyu Laibunim V'Yaldusoy, if he had children when he was young, he should continue having children when he's older. And the pasuk continues with a reasoning behind it. You will never know which of the children will be successful, so a person has to continue having children. So the first consideration when it comes to contraceptives is if it contradicts any of these mitzvahs. So the person has not yet been mekayim one of these mitzvahs, the mitzvah of true rule, the other mitzvahs, then contraception is not allowed. On the other hand, whenever there's an objective reason, as a medical reason, then contraceptives can be considered, and we'll get to it in a minute to know exactly which one of the methods of contraception are preferred. But in general, in the halachic approach is that contraceptives can be used when there is a real need for them. So when a person comes to a rab and he asks if we can use these methods or not, he has to evaluate and assess what is the problem, what are the reasons. He consults with the doctor, and together they decide which methods can be used and for how long. The problematics of this is to differentiate between reasons which are authentic, which are real reasons, medical reasons. On the other hand, if it's only for convenience, putting off having children, this is halakhically not an acceptable reason to allow contraceptives. So this always has to be carefully weighed. What is the real reason behind this request to use a contraceptive? The first method I'm going to address is the method, a permanent method of male contraceptive, which is quite prevalent in the secular public. This is a vasectomy. What is a vasectomy? A vasectomy is when the person decides not to have any more children and he wants to continue his sexual life. So the vas deferens, the spermatic cord in the scrotum is tied, severed, and so there's no, the sperm cannot continue into the ejaculate, so that he's infertile. Performing a vasectomy is against the Torah, and two issues are involved. One issue is the issue of Sirus. In Pasuk it says, in Vayikra Chuvet, Imma'uch v'chosus v'nosik v'chorus l'sakrihu l'Hashem. A sacrifice, a korban, which has one of these injuries, these four types of injuries are injuries to the testicles, different levels of injury, crushing injuries, shredding injuries, or complete castration. An animal which has this type of injury cannot be used as a sacrifice. And the Torah continues and says, if a'artachem lo yisa'asu, it is not allowed to do this between Jewish people. And Chazal learned from this that there's an Isser Torah, a biblical Isser, to castrate not only a human being, but even a mammal, even birds, any creature which is capable of reproduction is not allowed to be sterilized. I know that people are not unaware of this Isser, and it's a problem also in farming, and people have pets, but a Jewish physician, a Jewish practitioner is not allowed to do this procedure, not only in Jewish patients, but in non-Jewish patients as well. So that's number one, the basic issue of being sterilized. Vasectomy is against the Torah for the person performing it. And then there's an issue of chitun. A person has been sterilized in this manner is not allowed to marry anymore. Even if he is married, he must divorce. He's not allowed to have sexual relations with a Jewish woman if he he's undergone a vasectomy. A non-Jewish person who has a vasectomy and he's megayer has to have it corrected before he can marry a Jewish woman. The pasuk says, "Lo yuvay tzu'adaku chreshafu b'kahal Hashem." A person who has sterilized cannot marry into kahal Hashem. Kahal gayerim lo ikrakua. The only one he can marry is a convert. A woman convert can marry such a person, but otherwise he cannot marry. What is considered a tzu'adaka? The Gemara says in Yevamos Ayin Hey. So I want to look carefully into this, the halachic sources to find the source that the vasectomy is considered tzu'adaka. The Rambam says that nichrasu chutei habeitzim o yachas mehem arai deposit. Even one of the chutei habeim, which probably means the spermatic cord connecting the testicle to the body, one of those which are severed, is this person pasul. And the Rambam continues and explains in Halacha Gimel, "Ibishvilen shevahem tizbasul shichva zera." These ducts which the sperm maturates, hem nikruim chutei baitim. These are called chutei baitim. The kim shenitza eva mishleishu eivra maleidu, haraydi posul. So it's very clear in the Rambam that if the spermatic cord is cut, this person is considered a tzu'adaka. Now there's a shaila which comes up during the prostatic surgery, prostatectomy, where the spermatic cord has to be cut next to the prostate gland to be able to remove the prostate gland, there was a debate in the poskim if this person is also considered a tzu'adaka. The machlokes was in the definition of chutei habeitzim. Because in the anatomy of the spermatic cord, it enters the body above the scrotum, and then makes a big ring in the abdominal cavity until it reaches the prostate. The question was, if severing the chutei habeim, the spermatic cord, inside the abdominal segment, inside the abdominal cavity, if it's also considered nichrasu chutei habeitzim. On one hand, Rashi states very clearly, chutei habeim means Shabbaitim tluim bohem betoich hakis. That means only the scrotal segment is considered chutei habeim, and when it's cut, it's a tzu'adaka. On the other hand, the Rambam uses the terminology, b'shvilim shebohem tizbashen shichva zera, where the shichva zera maturates. The maturation might happen in the whole length of the spermatic cord. So there were some poskim that tried to explain that according to the Rambam, even when it's cut in the abdominal segment, it's also considered tzedakah. But the conclusion, the general consensus of the poskim was, and that's the Chazon Ish who explained it that way, the Chazon Ish said that both the Rambam and both according to Rashi, only the segment in the scrotum, that's the segment which constitutes Sirus and also Tzvadakah. And that's the maskuna of the Chazon Ish. Because even according to the Rambam, where we're talking about Chizbashim Shechveder, only in that segment is the real maturation of the sperm. That's where it happens. And anyone who's involved in infertility treatments knows that sperm that is extracted from the testes are not that mature as sperm taken from the epididymis, which is the next stage after the testes. So that's where the basic, in the epididymis, that's where the sperm maturates. So even according to the Rambam, it's quite plausible that only in that segment, in the scrotal segment, is where the chutei habayim are considered, if it's cut, it's considered tzedakah. So the ma'ariv says that the maskuna of the poskim, that during prostatic surgery, prostatectomy, even if the spermatic cord is cut and the person is infertile after that, nevertheless, he is not considered a tzedakah and he's allowed to continue his married life. That's a debate about cutting the spermatic cord during prostatectomy. But a vasectomy is, according to all halachic sources, a tzedakah. So let's conclude. A vasectomy is not allowed to be done. Both the procedure is disallowed. And the same thing, a person who has undergone a vasectomy is not allowed to marry a Jewish woman. Cannot be corrected, which is called re-anastomosis. Chazal say in Yevamos Ayin Guf, Tuna Buna, Nikav Pasul, a person who has a hole, has perforated the Shvil HaZera, the reference, Pasul, Nifnei Shehu Shoyses. He's not allowed to marry because the sperm can leak from that hole. Nistam, if that hole is sealed, Kusher, Nifnei Shehu Moilid. After it's sealed and it's healed, he can already become fertile again, and that's, and the Meila, there's no issue of Tzedakah. V'zehu, say Chazal, Pasul Shechoizer Lechshevei. This is one of the rare instances in the Halakha where we find a psul, but it can be corrected. And the same Haluk is brought in Shulchan Aruch, in Ebn Ezer Sinai Sivdala, Vim Nistam HaNekev Chuzah Lechshevei. We already mentioned it in the previous year that the correction that is done does not have to be in a manner where the person is proven to be fertile again. If it's done in a professional manner, and the doctors say there is a good chance for him to father a child, even if it's not proven yet, for instance, no semen analysis was done to see if there is real sperm coming out, nevertheless, the issur was corrected and he is now allowed to marry. I remember a case, a young man who had surgery for a hydroceal. Hydroceal is a bag of water in the scrotum which has to be removed. And I don't know what happened, but it seems that inadvertently when the surgery was done, his epididymis was also removed and the vas deferens was severed. And of course, he didn't have children. When this was uncovered and found, this was a very serious problem because he was already married a few years, a young Chassidish, a young man. And Baruch Hashem, we found a doctor in the United States. Normally, this isn't done anymore, re-anastomosis of these problems, because with the advent of IVF, having children is no problem without correcting this. But Baruch Hashem, we find doctors, there are doctors in the United States which do this correction, and he was, Baruch Hashem, successfully the surgery was done. But I don't remember if he had the natural children, but Baruch Hashem he has children now, probably by IVF. In any case, a vasectomy can be reversed, and it should be done as soon as possible for the person to be able to marry. So that's the first method of contraception, affirmative contraception, which Al-Pi Torah is totally disallowed. There's been a lot of talk about temporary male contraception, contraceptives. It's been on the agenda for decades, and I think there's still not one which is available at this moment, but I've read a lot of the literature about it. And the approach is basically a medication, a hormone medication, which suppresses production, spermatogenesis, production of sperm. And on the other hand, this also causes lack of testosterone, which a person needs for to have the sexual drive. So they go together with exogenous testosterone patches. So we're talking about a combined approach. On one hand, reducing the production or eliminating the production of sperm. And on the other hand, ensuring that the person has a reliable source of testosterone. I want to share with you an episode I had some years ago with this temporary male contraception. There was an educational establishment of young boys in the from religious public. There's a segregation with the sexes. There are talmidim for young boys, yeshivas, and girls' schools. One of those schools had a brilliant idea how to deal with young boys that have problems with their when they undergo puberty and they have problems with their sexuality and to control the sexual urges. This is a problem which all machanchim, all educators have to try and find solutions. There are young boys that can't manage the surge that comes with puberty, and it causes a lot of problems in learning, problems in behavior. So one of those school systems came over to me that their psychologist or their psychiatrist came up with a brilliant idea. He had a medication which when it's given to one of these children, all of a sudden he becomes a different person, he gets quiet, and he starts learning, and his smile shows up and says, this whole problem is solved very simply. It sounded strange to me, so I asked them to show me what this medication is. So they showed me two types of medication. One is called Zoladex, and the other one is called Androcor. So I'm talking to doctors here, but some people aren't doctors here, so I'll explain what we're talking about. Zoladex is a medication which was developed for prostate cancer. And when there is prostate cancer, the production of testosterone has to be suppressed because it's not indicated in the case of prostate cancer. It's what is called a GnRH agonist, which prevents production of FSH and LH so that the testes stop producing sperm and they also stop producing testosterone. The other one is called Androcor, which is an anti-androgen. And this works in a different manner. It blocks the receptors of testosterone in the body. Both of them basically remove testosterone from the body. So these young children, 13, 14, 15-year-olds, which have problems with their sexual drive, they get this medication, you're removing the testosterone from their bodies, and all of a sudden they become different, quiet children and children that want to learn and they have no problems. So this was the story that I was told. I just want to make mention that in young adolescents, male adolescents, testosterone is vital to their health, their bone growth and their muscle growth and the whole their health. But this psychiatrist, I think, didn't consider all these issues, and he wanted to make a quick solution, make a few dollars, and so he came up with this story. What happens is that apart from the danger to these children, and it's probably illegal to do this, basically what we're doing with this medication is we're turning them into infertile young men. It might be temporary or it might be permanent. No one can know for sure. But basically what we're doing is for this period while he's taking this medication, this is a temporary male contraceptive. So what is the issue here? So let's take a look at the basic issue of temporary male contraceptives. In the Gemara, we find a few mentions of a potion which was had contraceptive effect, both for the male and both female. It's called Kos Ikurin. There's a machlokes if the pronunciation is Kos Ikurin, which means a cup of roots, herbal medicine, or Kos Akarin, Milushin Ukor, a eunuch, a person who can't have children. So it can be called Kos Akarin or Kos Ikurin. Anyway, Kos Ikurin in the Gemara is a potion which caused infertility. Some say permanent infertility, some say temporary infertility. Is it allowed to be taken, this potion? The Rambam says in Parik Tazani, what is the Surah Bia? Utsal ha'ashid ayvarai hazeda b'an b'udam b'an b'daimu. It is not allowed to destruct the reproductive organs, both in a human and both in an animal. V'chal ha'mesadis, whoever does this, loikim in ha'tzare b'chal mukai. His einish is malchus, flogging. And the Rambam continues and says, "Hamashke ikurin leuzam or leshar minim." A person who gives to drink a kos ikurin for a human or for other creatures, kedai mitarsoi, haray de usur v'ayin loikin ulav. It's forbidden, but there's no malchus. There's a place of paskin. Is this Rambam? Is this isur the isur d'oraisa, the biblical isur, or only an isur d'rabbonim? There are sources that say it's only an issue of Rabbonah, because it's not a limud gomer. Others say it's an issue of Torah, and the reason why it's not ayin loik ulav is because it's only alidei groma. It's an indirect a manner of sirus. It's not direct. In any case, the conclusion of Rav Pliskin is that it's only an issue of Rabbonah. But then everyone agrees that it's also. Issa d'oraisa or issa d'rabbonan, it's not allowed to be taken, even if it's only temporary. But if it's taken for medical reasons, the Torah in Siman Hai is of the opinion, also l'gish lishto is kosh ikurin, a man is not allowed to drink a kosh ikurin, even if his intention is lerefuah. The Shulchan Aruch disagrees. The Shulchan Aruch brings down the Lushna Rambam. With the Lushna is Hamashke Kedai Letzarsoy. His intention was to cancel him. Then it's not allowed. Mashma, but if it's taken for medical purposes, it is allowed. In any case, the reason why therefore it's allowed is because it's a dura shayim mischarim. He only has his intention is to treat some sort of disease or to prevent the disease. So he's not machatim the tzarasoy. But in our case, in this case with the school system, the intention was to prevent production of testosterone, which is a direct result causes also sterilization. So I think that according to all halachic sources, this was disallowed, it was not allowed. Getting back to our shaila, if a person is allowed to take kos ikurim because he has, it disturbs him from learning, there's a birka yoyset who brings down from Bisham Haritza, birka yoyset simon hayt otis gimel, uta lishnas kos ikurim kibay lasek v'toyre. A person who can't control his thoughts, his sexual thoughts, is allowed to take this kosikurin. But Rav Poitz can disagree, and they say it's not allowed to be taken. The only instance which we might consider allowing such an instance is like there's now a case in Israel. There's a law being debated in the Knesset if for a serial rapist. They want to give him this medication to remove the danger from society from this person. So in such a case, when there's no other way to control this person with the danger, and the further equates this danger to a murderer, kasha yukam isharayir tzuchay nefesh kena duvarazay, this is right. So in such a case, this might be considered to give him, against his will, this medication. Otherwise, it's totally disallowed. So, male contraception, both permanent in a surgical manner, or temporary by medication, cannot be used. So let's go over to a few additional methods of contraception. In the Torah, we find the first instance of contraception, that ayir ba'oinam. The Torah says, Pashas Vayishlach, Vayayda oinam, ki loy loy yiyah hazura, v'oyu imbu el ayishas uchiv, v'shichayt artzu, levilti nesom zera le'uchiv. He destroyed the seed, v'shichayt artzu. And what was the oinish? What was his punishment? Both Ayin and both Oinon, they died as a punishment for that what they did. What is the explanation of this, what they did? The poets can say this is what is called Dosh Mebifnim V'Zoyle Mebachutz. In English, Coitus Interruptus. This is the Issa Doraisa. The Issa Doraisa is based on the Issa of Hashchusas Zera, wasting of seed. In this manner, the ejaculation is not intravaginal, therefore it's not allowed, under no circumstances. Similar to this is the use of a condom. When using a condom, it's also considered the Shichais also, because the sperm cannot enter. There's a mechanical barrier preventing the entrance of the sperm into the vagina. There are methods which are more acceptable. And the best of them is what is called the pill. Way back in the beginning of, in early 60s, when this pill was introduced, the dosages of the hormones in the pill were much higher, and the halachic authorities were very concerned with bleeding, intramenstrual bleeding, which caused considerable problems when in the Shivanakiyam, in the clean days, and after the mikveh, a woman taking these pills was spotting all the time, and this caused terrible stress on the marriage and also halachic problems. In the later years, this was modified, and Baruch Hashem now most of these pills have no problems, no side effects, so they can be taken. This is not considered a kos ikurin because it's only temporary, and basically the woman taking this pill is not considered infertile. It's only a hormone interference with ovulation. Hormonal interference with ovulation. It's only temporary, the minute they decide to conceive, we stop taking the pill, and Baruch Hashem, normally there's no problems. So the number one method which is preferred is the pill. Number two is intrauterine devices. There's a debate, I think that from the beginning, and I still haven't heard a very clear decision on this debate, how the IUD's intrauterine device works. Some say that it does not interfere with fertilization. It interferes with implantation. That means the fertilized ovum, the fertilized egg, comes into the uterus, and since there's that device in the uterus, for some reason it prevents the egg from implanting in the uterus. Others say it interferes with fertilization. I think this is something which cannot be decided. No one can be in the uterus to see exactly what happens when this fertilized egg or the unfertilized egg comes into the uterus when there's an IUD. In any case, it's also considered an indirect way of contraception, and therefore the second level of when we go from the preferred to the others, number two would be IUD. When we have to decide between the IUD and the pill, we have to consider many medical, that's why it's very important to discuss this with the doctor. There are many medical considerations too. The age of the woman, how many children she has. There are contraindications to the pill. There are women that can't take the IUD. They keep on bleeding when the IUD is inserted. So that's for them not an option. So this has to be considered one against the other. But both are halakhically acceptable when there's sufficient grounds for use of contraceptives. And then let's discuss something which is not that much known, but I've read and heard about it a lot. It's called a silicone plug. I don't know how much it's used today, but this was something they developed to be a temporary method of contraception. Intrafallopian silicone plug, a plug. It's a silicone plug put into the fallopian tubes where it enters the uterus, and supposedly this was supposed to prevent the sperm of entering the fallopian tubes and mamila preventing conception. At the beginning this was believed to be a temporary method. But I've read a bit on the literature about this method, and I see that it's far from being temporary. It depends on how long this plug is in place, and if it's relatively long, it seems that the damage to the delicate structures of the fallopian tube is irreversible, so that the chances of natural conception after these plugs are removed are very low. So if that's the case, it should be halakhically similar to permanent female contraceptives, which we'll get to in a minute. Spermicides. There are many types of applying spermicides, but spermicides is less effective and also halakhically less palatable because basically this causes destruction of the sperm. Although it's indirect destruction of the sperm, but nevertheless there is a component of hashchos zera here. But if there's no other way, no other option, then this will be allowed. No other option meaning that the pill or the IUD are contraindicated, then that's when we allow also use of spermicides. Let's talk a minute about permanent female contraception, which is tubal ligation, or removal of the ovaries, or hysterectomy. We spoke, I mentioned before, there's an Isser Sirus, Isser Doraisa of Sirus. Rosh Paskin are in the opinion that the Isser Sirus is only in the male. Isser Sirus Doraisa is in the male. A female Sirus is only the Rabbonah. And therefore, when there's a medical reason, for instance, a woman that cannot have a pregnancy anymore because of medical reasons, and there's no chance that this condition will be reversed or will improve, and all the other methods are unacceptable, then this is allowed. Both a hysterectomy or tubal ligation. Tubal ligation is preferred because sometimes it can be reversed. But if it's not possible, this is allowed. The same applies for hysterectomy. Hysterectomy is a more extreme method, but in cases where there's a chance for a disease or other reasons hysterectomy has to be performed, it's allowed. After hysterectomy, there's no problem to continue sexual relations, even though there's no uterus, as long as it's possible to have normal sexual relations. Now let's talk about, there are contraceptive devices which are based on barrier methods, or a diaphragm, or a sponge, a foam. And the Gemara we find mention of these methods, it's called moich. Lifnei tashmish, v'moich la'achar tashmish. In the Gemara, a moich lifnei tashmish means to packing the vagina with cotton or with a sponge, which would prevent, it's a barrier, it prevents the sperm from entering the uterus, the cervix. In the Gemara, it's not allowed, only in extreme cases of danger of life to the mother. Moich la'achar tashmish is of a lesser iser. Moich la'achar tashmish is after intercourse to clean out the sperm and preventing it from entering the cervix. Moich la'achar tashmish is of a lesser iser because it's not hashus zera during coitus, it's only afterwards. But both are not allowed only in cases of skonis nefoshes, when there's a pikuach nefesh. Well, the Poskim debate is the diaphragm is similar to moich lifnei tashmish or not. What is the diaphragm? The diaphragm is a cap which fits itself on the cervix. It's much deeper than the moich lifnei tashmish, which is discussed in Chazal and Halucha. One of the reasons why moich lifnei tashmish is disallowed is because it's considered shofer chzavay al aitzim v'avunim. It's not normal sexual relations because this blocks the function during what happens during sex. On the other hand, the diaphragm is much deeper, so normal sexual relations can happen, but this prevents the sperm from entering the cervix. So there are poskim like the Marsham and others that felt that a diaphragm is of a lesser iser, and it can be used in certain cases. Other poets can disagree. Other poets can equate the use of a diaphragm to moich lifnei tashmish. So a diaphragm is something which is less preferable when possible, when the other methods are possible, this should not be used. Did we skip anything? Other methods which people think of? Any questions? Yeah, I just want to add and finalize the discussion. We just learned in Daf Yomi that Shulash Meftayach was Nimsar Biyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of them is Meftayach Shel Chaya, the key of birth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give it to anyone. And Tosfos and Rashi discussed if we find that Tzadikim were Poiked Akuros, Tzadikim were able to be mispalel, and people who didn't have children could have children. But the deeper meaning of this Maftach Shel Chaim means that the control of birth on a personal level and on a public level and on a worldwide level is via the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You know, the doomsday sayers for many years said that population explosion is the biggest danger to the world today. Now it became global warming, and who knows what it's going to be tomorrow. Population explosion is via the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He controls it. We don't have to worry about that issue. Miftarech Shel Chaya, the Miftarech, the key to birth and to the whole creation is the Yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why I feel that the approach, the Torah approach, is a balanced approach. It's different from other religions. Other religions or allow everything or disallow everything. The Torah approach is a balanced approach. On one hand, realizing the power and the danger of birth control, and on the other hand, realizing the benefit people can have of this technology, enhancing the quality of life, saving the health of the mother and the child. And this, I think that the Torah approach is to leave this key together, Kodesh Baruch Hu. I think that's the best way for us. Any questions? Yes.
Not in terms of contraception, but let's say a young man has testicular cancer and has to have surgery and leave some asaris.
No. So I'll repeat your question. In the case of testicular cancer, which were normally one testicle has to be removed, in halacha it's a very clear heter that if a testicle was damaged by injury or damaged by disease, it can be removed and the person is not considered a saris. Even more because one testicle is enough for a person to be fertile. In the Rabbeinu Tam, I already brought that to Rabbeinu Tam in the previous year, the Rabbeinu Tam maintained that we see many people that only have one testicle and they are fertile. So removing a testicle because the testicle was diseased is allowed and the person is not considered a saris. The same applies when there's a case of cryptorchidism. An undescended testicle, and it is recommended nowadays to remove it because it might become cancerous in a later stage. This is also allowed, and there's no problem at all with service or with tzedakah.
Mm-hmm. A family doctor, when a goy or a non-religious Jew come and ask you advice about the utilization of condom.
Huh?
Of condom.
Yes.
What is the answer that you have to give? You are sure that the person is in risk of some sexual transmitted diseases?
Use of a condom is problematic, as I explained before, because it's an Isra Shfusa Zera. Even when one of the two has AIDS, HIV, and there's a very serious danger of transmitting the disease, there's no hazard to use a condom. The only instance where a condom is allowed is when a person has to produce a sperm sample for semen analysis, and the halacha over there is that we recommend using a condom, a perforated condom, which on one hand is possible for some sperm to escape and to fertilize. On the other hand, the specimen is maintained in the condom. But that's the only instance where a condom can be used. For contraceptive reasons, a condom cannot be used. For a non-Jew, there's no problem. For a non-religious Jew, there is a problem. So this is something which can be debated. If a non-religious Jew is, if telling a non-religious Jew to do something which is against the Torah, that's considered lifna idra, but it's mishlo not. But, yes.
We had polymamish case in Argentina, mm-hmm. where we are from, and one community invited me to give a lecture to teenagers, non-religious Jews, and I asked a rabbi this question. These teenagers are at risk of HIV, for example, mm-hmm. and what has to be my message mm-hmm. for those people?
Abstinence.
You mentioned that you have a couple of lectures to give, yes. You have to.
That's what President Bush is also saying. Yeah. So not only we say it.
I mean, research shows that those types of messages don't necessarily work or are not effective. Where I was just on the other thing I was reading, actually, a lot of youth who were training from sexual contact for abstinence for these reasons, when they do engage in sexual contact, they don't really know what to do or about contraceptives, and a lot of them end up getting diseases.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very gray area.
It's a gray, I agree. But as I began today's discussion, it's very possible that the advent of all these birth control and contraceptives, the promiscuity that resulted from that brought this problem. So that can't change the halacha. We have to go back to traditional family values. There's no extramarital sex. There's no premarital sex. We have to teach our children that that's the way to do it.
What about Plan B, the morning after pill? I mean, there's no labatola. I mean, everything.
Yeah, the morning after pill is problematic because basically it causes abortion.
No.
No. Oh, please explain.
5B just changes the uterine lining,
mm-hmm.
that it can accept something.
A fertilized egg.
Yeah.
So maybe it's similar to the IUD.
Yeah, in a way.
I'm of the opinion that even if it does prevent implantation, it's not considered abortion. Because a viable embryo is only after implantation. An embryo, even though it's already, even a blastocyst, is still not viable as long as it's not implanted in the uterus. So if we have frozen embryos, it's not considered abortion if someone pulls the plug. So the same would apply to this reasoning, to what you're saying now. The morning after pill, if it only prevents implantation, is not considered abortion. I agree. So there should be a difference between this pill and an IUD. Okay? Yes,
Good.
Thank you.
People should please fill out the form. At this stage, we want to announce that next year will be in 5 weeks' time. We will send out a reminder. Please fill out the email so we have your address. Tapes of the shiur will also be available. We also would like to congratulate the Mawais on being appointed to the outbasting position to the Chief Rabbi of the Beit Din of Ashur, wishing much success and continuing our slot in all of his endeavors on behalf of our city. Thank you.
Thank you.